The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been to the Midwest. I think Ponzi and I are headed out there in right after Gnomedex, a few weeks after Gnomedex, and I'm not looking forward to the weather at all.
Well, it's sort of like they'll say, like, you know, I grew up in Eastern Washington, it was just desert, and so people say, yeah, but it's a dry heat. That's sort of like saying, yeah, well, you have to be set on fire or boiled alive.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they're both.
Seattle has, you know what, I love the Pacific Northwest. The Pacific Northwest has the most temperate climates in, you know, from Seattle all the way up to, Bellingham, Washington?
Yeah, that's like Neo-Canada, as we call it.
Neo-Canada, so I wonder if we know anybody from Bellingham, Washington.
It rains a lot up there.
Hmm. Bellingham, Washington. Well, I think I know a Matt Hartley. Matt?
Hey, Chris.
How you doing? That was my way of introducing you.
Oh, okay. I thought it was pretty sly. I was kind of wondering. It's like, oh, what's going on here? So couple questions for you about doing a podcast.
Yeah.
Mainly equipment. That's a big thing. I know with myself and probably anyone else out there, if you're starting out with a brand-new podcast and you really want to do it right, what kinds of equipment would you recommend?
Oh, boy. You know what? it depends on your budget, and I'm serious when I say that. You know, the quality, garbage in, garbage out. And, you know, the quality of equipment is definitely going to translate well in terms of producing something that people want to listen to. And that's a complaint that a lot of listeners have if the quality isn't up to snuff. They feel slighted.
Yeah, I had a problem on my first two podcasts. I had the microphone slightly out of sync, and, like, my current microphone was slightly out of sync. And so I took me a while to two actual shows before I finally even got the setting right, but you know, I'm running on like probably $50 worth of equipment, but
which is I would consider a lower
bare,
end of the
bare,
equipment.
Well, yeah,
the equipment isn't actually really as important as getting the levels right on your audio, so that you're not like blowing it out on one end or having it too quiet or having it just like violently jump from really quiet to really loud, so that people are constantly with their hand on the dial.
Also,
trying
then trying to decide, like, you know, what do you want to say with a podcast? You know, what do you want to do? What I've done is sort of write out a rough things of like topics that I want to talk about, and I'll actually record them in segments. So I'll like hit record, talk about something for 5 minutes, and then stop. And if I don't like how I did, I'll delete that segment and re-record it, which is not exactly live broadcasting as like what we're doing right here. But just sort of like decide what – well, like I'll ask you right now, what do you want to do with your podcast?
Well, actually, it's going to be a group podcast, and we've got a pretty good handle on content and where we're going to want to take it. But I was basically looking at equipment on my end. Myself, Lopesher, and Wheezy are going to be doing a podcast, but they will be working out of a studio with some radio backing, and I will be doing it from my location. And I will be doing all the recording directly to my computer for best quality rather than trying to – send it back and forth in real time.
I hope you're not using Skype, Matt.
No, I'm not.
And I don't say
oh,
that.
You mean for podcasting? Or,
yeah.
No, I won't use Skype. I won't use Skype.
Yeah, it's not that I dislike Skype. I think it's a wonderful application, but it definitely, in terms of quality, it's not quite there yet.
So what do you recommend for him? Like using the onboard sound card, or should he get in a PMCIA sound card? Or?
Well, what kind of sound card do you have currently?
PCI.
Oh, I don't remember. It's some cheapie I took out of an old computer.
Because I would get like the
I can't remember.
I would get like the $30 Sound Blaster card, and that will be more than good enough. Because unless you go really high end on the sound cards, they're all really optimized for playback, not
recording.
Not recording. But the $30 one is just as good as getting like the Audigy 2 with the front face.
Because you're going to record what 16-bit sound, and ultimately it's going to be downsampled to the point where it doesn't necessarily matter how you record it.
I mean, I would say the big thing that you'd want to look at is getting like a condenser microphone, something to power the microphone, and depending on if you have any other outboard gear or not, you may want to get a mixer too. But I mean, getting like a large diaphragm condenser microphone, you can pick them up for like around $100. That would be good enough for what you want to do. Just make sure that you get your level so that you leave a lot of room on the recording.
Like in terms of,
I should actually read your book. I would learn a lot.
When you say a lot of room, are you talking like highs, the highs?
No, I mean a lot of room. Like you want to leave room in the recording so that during the editing process you've got – because when you hit the zero point, if you go above zero, you're too loud. As long as you're staying under zero, then you've got room to work with a little bit. And usually getting somewhere in the -6 to -3 decibel range for the initial recording is better. For instance, tonight we're kind of all over the map because the levels seem to be just wacky.
I told you, having the phone lines.
There must be something to do with the actual phone system.
Let's blame the local phone company.
No, I don't think it's. I'd love to blame Quest because, frankly,
that's
they
what
suck,
I do. I hate
but...
Quest.
We all do. We all do. So it sounds to me though. That what Jake is saying, that probably the most important piece of equipment, hardware-wise, is the microphone.
Microphone's always the most important piece of equipment in a vocal recording.
And 8-bit Jake, is stating, as far as the fundamentals, as long as you've got a map about where you're going, then, if you hit those things, then...
Yeah, there's technical aspects. And then, first thing I had to do was get the technical aspects, and then there's sort of like, well, what am I really going to do with the materials once I got it? And I'm still working on that.
It takes time.
Well, I'm kind of fortunate. On their end, they've got, radio technicians that come in and just set them up. I don't have to worry about it. On my end, basically, I'm looking at noise cancellation. That's a big one. Possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of that is really, we're using, and Jake could tell you, Jake Ludington could tell you the technical details about the hardware that we're running here. We've got, headset mics, and that definitely helps, in terms of adjusting our levels. The first time that we started doing the Chris Perillo show, we only had mics that were sitting in front of us, and it made it kind of difficult because one person would be sitting this far away, the other person was sitting this far away, and levels were all over the place, and it wasn't quite as refined as it was when we got the headset.
Also, fan noise from the computer and stuff.
We didn't have much fan noise.
A lot of it was room noise, actually, because we were out in the other room. There was a whole lot of echo because there's nothing to soak up any of the sound. We were using these dynamic mics, and there seemed to be a tendency for anyone we would have here to...
Can you hear the dogs in the background?
Oh, yeah, you can hear the dogs in the background.
Certainly.
But no, the really frustrating thing was nobody really wanted to stay up on the mic. And, I mean, with a mic like this, you really got to be up on the mic so that you're not, drowning it out with noise from the room. Or otherwise, the gain's got to be, massively up, and then you're just picking up lots of room noise and fan noise. And
If you're looking, Matt, for specific recommendations, again, it kind of depends on your budget. Go as high as you can afford to go. And if you're looking for specific direction, Jake, does your book kind of outline a lot of that?
Yeah, the Podcasting Starter Kit does cover that. I think there's actually an article that I did. If you search the Media Center on Lockernome, I think there's a link to an article that I did on doing a podcasting setup for under $200.
Okay. Well, I've got a good handle on the audio editing. I can do that all day long in Audacity with my eyes closed. It was just basically equipment, and I'm using a USB mic right now that actually has noise canceling built into it, and it works pretty well. It does real nicely, but I'm trying to find something that has the pop stopper and all that kind of stuff.
Those USB mics actually work pretty well. I actually did, when we were doing a real radio show way back, I did an entire show using one of those and an old 200 megahertz machine. Ooh. To record the entire show because I was in California and Chris was in California and the show was happening in Iowa.
Just don't remind me of those days. Just don't. I still have nightmares about that show. What's that, Matt?
I still got the link.
Oh, great.
I got the link in my bookmark someplace, but yeah. No, that's some good advice. I'm going to definitely check that out. I think that's what I'm going to do is really look at the equipment and what I want to do with it. I'm willing to, myself, I can drop in a few $100, up to probably even up to $500 if need be. But we're going to kind of play that by ear. But as far as on their end, that's taken care of. That's not even a concern. It's just basically my side. And I'm not going to be feeding anything directly to them. I will be pre-recording it, bundling it up, and then sending it on its way.
Go ahead, Matt.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask, first of all, did you see that we sold out Gnome Decks?
No, you guys did sell out.
We're sold out.
Nice.
I may have a couple of passes, but it's very extremely not possible that I have a couple of passes. Just about every one of them has been called for already. No, that was the first thing. Second thing, do you have a portable recorder of any kind?
I've been looking into a DAT, like one of those DAT recorders. I've been
considering skip
that.
The DAT. Don't go DAT. Either get the Edirol R1 or the Marantz PMD660.
Well, I'm wondering.
I'm ticked off because I actually got an iPod Mini, and then I found out that you can't record onto an iPod Mini.
They don't even have an add-on for it.
I know. I'm.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. Well, it's an iPod.
That's because they want you to spend an extra $100 so you can pay another $50 for an add-on.
Right.
I'm just sorry, not an iPod kind of guy. No, Matt. What I was gonna say is, I'm gonna be pretty busy at GnomeDex, and I've asked Jake to kind of get a few interviews at the conference because there are gonna be a handful of great people there.
My goal is to interview every attendee for at least 3 minutes.
Oh, you're kidding, right?
No.
Oh my God! Oh, wow. Oh my God! Well, Matt, if you want, I mean, we've got an extra. We've got a Marantz portable recorder here as well. I mean, Jake's still using an Edirol. We've got basically two portable recorders, and I'd certainly, I believe I can trust you and put that into your care if you wanted to use that to record some interviews for our program for Nomies and Chris Perillo Show listeners.
Yeah, I think we can do that.
Is that?
I'll be bringing my camcorder with tripod, and I've got like wireless mics and all that as well. So.
Oh wow!
See, maybe you could get him to do some video recordings.
Even better, video is fun.
Pictures.
Yeah, I did some video recording. One of them with the with Chris DeBona when he was doing the Google speech.
Oh yeah.
Linux test. It turned out, I don't know if you ever saw the video or not. Not the live stuff that went down the tubes, but the actual pre-recorded stuff. It turned out all right, except for when someone else was trying to do wireless mics in the other room on the same frequency.
Yeah,
and, it was panic mode.
Welcome to the world of not only wireless but going live.
Is there a GnomeDex Flickr tag?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, we've got tags everywhere. In fact, I think Dave Sifferi is going to be a last minute addition to the lineup from Technorati. And at least I believe he's going to be able to make it. We've got everybody's schedule's kind of wacky, but
I saw like Will Wheaton was a little he was a little freaked out when he saw that his name was a Flickr tag.
Really?
Yeah, and it was like pictures of him.
Oh, were they from GnomeDex?
No,
I'd imagine
from like other places.
They were like, compromising pictures.
Oh wow! Do a search for Wheaton there on Flickr. All right, Matt, does that get you going?
Yep, sure does. Thanks
Good
a lot, guys.
All right, we'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right, talk to you then.
Thanks. As Matt Hartley, I couldn't be doing Locker Gnome right now without Matt, an absolutely fundamental part of Locker Gnome's kind of cadre of contributors, always finding good stuff, posting good stuff, writing great stuff that in my opinion really spurs a lot of conversation. He wrote something the other day based on a question that we had regarding stability of hard drives, and a lot of good information came back from that. Feedback came from subscribers that we were able to use and share with everybody else. So it's good stuff. Well, we've got another caller just waiting, and I can't tell exactly what kind of question it is because apparently all this caller wants to do is say hi.
Hi.
Is that it?
That's it.
Well, I'm going
to
top it and say Snoogans.
Home tonight.
What's that?
For a rare time.
Oh, yeah?
And today was Synchronicity Day with podcasting, as I told you this morning in an email. And I decided I needed to finish off the day by calling you up while you were podcasting and say hi.
Jeeber,
yes.
Oh, Jeeber. Well, see, I never, I only read it, so I never actually
know
how to
pronounce
it. No
one knows how to pronounce it.
So it's Jeeber, actually.
Yes.
Now, what is that based on?
That is my first initial of my first name and my middle name, which is Eber.
Ah, now it makes sense.
Uh-huh. Not to be confused with Jabber.
No, Jabber is something completely different. But speaking of Jabber, Jeeber is Locker Gnome's kind of resident Linux expert. Well, you are, quite honestly. Anything that has to do with Linux that crosses my desk that, may be interesting for review or whatever, you're usually the first to see it.
Well, I'm learning like I think everybody else I know that is working with Linux nowadays, unless they're old school Unix guys. I'm still learning. Everybody's still learning. It's a really dynamic thing. It's very fun.
See, technically, you're supposed to pronounce it Linux because there was a WAV file out there
of
Linus Torvald, and he says, "Hello, I'm Linus, and I pronounce Linux." But everyone I know says
Linux. We'd
have to
continue to talk like him all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't do that.
Neither can I. I couldn't even try. And of course,
I couldn't say Ubuntu with a Swedish accent either.
Is that how you pronounce it, Ubuntu?
That's how I've heard.
Who knows? Yeah, I always say Ubuntu. It just sounds cooler, I guess.
There you go.
Sounds like a planet in the new Star Wars film. I don't know, Ubuntu.
Yeah.
So no, and Jeeber also does he's an administrator over at help.lockergnome.com and puts up with me trying to, you know, when upgrades are long overdue or we're having problems with the server, and hopefully we've licked most of those issues by now, have we?
I think we have. I created a new disaster today, but it's also pretty much cured itself with a few exceptions.
Oh, what happened?
I gave everybody the option to use quick reply in the forums.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people don't like the page load times.
Uh-huh.
So quick reply allows you to reply without having another page open up. And I figured that was a good option for people to have.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it seems to also auto-subscribe you to every forum and every thread that you contribute to.
Oh!
So I posted a workaround for that, and it seems to have worked for everybody but two, and those two are just going to have to find their own workaround, I guess.
Oh, man.
We have several thousand pleased people and two that can't quite get it to work, so
well, that's
enjoy
good.
Your rules.
No, thank you. I'm glad you caught that, because even if I would have caught that, I don't know when I would have had time to actually implement it. You know, we've been crunched. In fact, one of the reasons why Ponzi's not joining us tonight is because she's in the other room catching up on stuff that getting ready for Gnome Dex.
Yeah. Crazy time for you right now, huh?
Yeah, it's a little crazy. Just a little crazy. But the good news is that this I can say, you know, I truly believe that this is we've already set the stage to have the best Gnome Dex that we've ever had, which is good, because that means the future Gnome Dexes will be even better.
Now, is there going to be like a Microsoft API? I mean, how many local Microsofties do you think are going to show up?
Oh, that's a good question. I know we've got quite a few registered attendees who are Microsofties.
See,
they're our Diamond sponsor, by the way.
Oh, okay.
So, they are our Diamond sponsor, and of course, a lot of geeks who live in Seattle happen to work at Microsoft.
Well, yeah, they're the 800-pound gorilla of the local tech. Yeah. And I mean, let me put this in perspective. There's more people working at Microsoft and Redmond than live in my hometown.
That's probably true about.
I don't know
everybody.
Whether that's frightening or enlightening.
I think a little bit of both. You know,
well, there's more
and
people working at Microsoft and Redmond than in our hometown too.
Probably in our home state, Jake.
Well, maybe not quite.
Well, no. The Des Moines Metro is what, 150?
No, the Des Moines Metro is about 500,000.
Oh, 500,000. Actually, well, it's bigger than I thought it was. It never seems to be that way, you know?
I think the city of Des Moines has somewhere between 150 and 200,000 population.
Maybe that's what it is. So, anyway.
People at work at Microsoft probably live better than some of the folks in your hometown, too.
Yeah, oh, I wouldn't doubt it. They're, in fact, Ponzi.
The campus of theirs?
Yeah. When Ponzi met a few Microsoft millionaires, she thought everybody who worked at Microsoft was millionaires. And I said, no, not quite.
Well, the thing is, a couple of years ago, I dated a girl that was worked at Microsoft, and she had a badge, and we'd go out shopping, and she'd put the badge on because you would get treated better if you had a Microsoft badge. People were like, hello, may I help you? Because they think, hey, he's rich. He has money.
Wow.
I had kind of the opposite experience when I was wearing a jacket that said Windows Media 9 or something on it in downtown Seattle. And this was like leading up to...
Will you buy the real building?
No. This was leading up to the election time. And so I got hassled by every single one of those like street corner election idiots that was trying to convince me to vote for every whatever. Random wacko, like,
so why was it
fringe?
The Windows?
Wait. Because like Microsoft stuff?
Well, yeah, and I'm pretty sure that it was because I was wearing a Microsoft jacket, and so that somehow made
no.
me a target.
Actually, no, what made you the target is when you came to my house earlier, I slapped that thing on the back and said, kick me, I'm a Democrat. Actually, I don't know your party affiliation.
I think I'm actually registered as a Democrat, but I don't really consider myself having a party affiliation.
I've lost track at this point. I flip-flopped.
One of the cool things you can actually look at, like, you know, in places and see, like, what they sponsor, because Microsoft, you know, they'll sponsor pretty much politicians from – basically, it's like whoever can get the work done, because, like, Amazon made some political contributions I didn't like, and I actually wrote them and got back and say it was like, you know, they'll wrote to people who they get. But I know it's a slippery slope when they get.
Now,
like,
these were like the fringe, like, people that run every, like, Lyndon LaRouche.
Oh, like, they know me.
I'm not talking Democrats and Republicans.
LaRouches. The LaRouches.
See, Jeeber, I don't know what it is, but every time, I don't know if it's, if in the forums, we had to create a politics forum. just because people kept talking. No matter what, politics comes up.
Well,
no matter what.
It's one of those things where, like, you know, it's like the blue moon. Everyone goes crazy every 4 years.
It's insane. But. No, it's year round. I think it's probably one of the most popular forums at help.lockernome.com.
I wouldn't be surprised. Wait a minute.
Is it?
The 2004 election still going on in Seattle.
Oh, yeah. It's like, I'm
Jeeber, we're having two conversations. The Jakes are talking and me and you are talking. This is great. No one else can tell that, though. So,
you know, speaking of Microsoft and politics, they just raised a stink recently with their attitudes toward gay benefits and all, too.
Yeah, well, see,
so
first...
all of a sudden now we're paying attention to their policies on a political level?
See,
that's amazing.
The thing that my take on that is that they actually rescinded what they were doing and took the position that they should have taken for the best interest of their shareholders in the first place, which was to have no opinion.
Right.
I have
expressed an opinion.
See, exactly. That's why I say I have no opinion about politics. I don't want to get in the middle of anything. But Jeeber, thanks again for all that you do. I certainly appreciate it.
And well, it's fun, and I wouldn't be doing it if it weren't fun, and if I weren't learning something too. That's how I got started with the forums. That's how I first ran into you. Was wanting to learn more and get more involved, and it's certainly paid off. Although I did lose my job today, so my technical knowledge of networking is not going to be being put to use for a while, but that's okay too.
But you're on the market
fact,
again.
That's okay.
You're on the market.
I'm on the market. I am available if anyone needs a Jeeber. there is a Jeeber for sale.
Hey,
yes,
wait,
just read my blog and you can catch up on all of that.
In a specific geographic location or just anywhere?
Southern California.
Now, which blog URL are you going to share?
Furballs is the blog where I'm talking about just general personal things.
Furballs.com?
No, it's actually Savari. I'm just peppering you with names you can't pronounce.
Yeah, exactly. Savari.
S-V-A-R-R-I.
Yep.
.com, and then it's /Jeeber_WP. Because I'm using WordPress.
I'm a little scary to do a Google search for furballs and see what comes up.
You should be.
Yeah, there
Even
you go.
If you got the right hit, you should be afraid.
Hey Chris, sure. I think that you should get him a URL that we can pronounce.
Yeah, I think that's the next thing.
Yeah.
So, all right, Jeeber, thanks. Jeeber.
Well,
Jeeber.
Thank you, and I'm enjoying your show tonight. Keep it up. Now I can catch him once in a while. This will be very cool.
Yeah, it'll be good. Well, hopefully you won't be catching him for long. I want you to get a job.
Okay, well, I'll tell him I can't work Thursday evening.
Thanks. I appreciate
cool.
the faith. Take care.
Okay, you guys. Take it easy.
You too. Yeah, I was very, very happy to be able to find, well, Matt, who we talked to before, and then and Jeeber as well. They've been very helpful in kind of helping the community, you know, roll along. And speaking of community, the chat room has been the longest standing Locker Gnome community as we used to have other kind of forums, and then we didn't have them anymore. Now, of course, the chat room is still alive, hopping. There's always something happening in there. And even when I'm in there, I don't say anything. It's just the way it goes. So that's a sad, unfortunate fact about me in chat rooms. I just don't. I just lurk. I say one or two things, and then I kind of lose my
interest. See, my problem is my mom learned instant messenger and stuff. So whenever I don't really use iChat because if I know I'm getting on, either my mom has automatically logged in and is never going to be there, or she's going to want to talk and I can't actually leave because it's my mom.
You could block her.
Oh, God. I'm not sure.
Is that like a pop-up blocker, a mom blocker?
Would she know?
I don't know. I've never actually someone I've blocked, I've never actually known, like, if
well,
they...
Wait,
it's like one of those things, like, if you're playing computer games with someone anonymous, you can just be rude than if you're, like, playing on computer games against someone who's, like, your friend, because there are certain things, like, you know, that you just...
You just can't say.
Well, no, it's like, you know, naval bombardments of small villages, you know, that they're in like, Warcraft and stuff. It's fine online, because you're never going to see this person again, but if it's your good friend... They're going to hold a grudge.
Yeah, of course, naturally.
But it's just a game.
So we've got the phone number, 888-PERILLO, 888-7474-556. You feel free to call anytime because it is a toll-free number. We actually do have someone on the line right now. Lance Heath.
Hey.
Hey.
How you doing?
Long time no talk.
Long time no talk, yes.
It was Gnomedex in Tahoe.
Gnomedex in Tahoe, Gnomedex 4, yeah, and it was a total blast, and I am totally bummed that I wasn't able to make this one.
I tell you, dude, this you are going to be blown away. I mean, even sitting at home, if you listen to any of the stream or the recordings that we do, you are, I swear, you are going to be, people are going to be blown away.
I will be, and I plan on listening to the streams as much as possible. Who's going to be carrying them?
We're going to be doing the Chris Perillo show through our website. So,
are they going to be archived?
Yeah.
Sweet.
They'll be archived as well as the interviews that we're doing, including
my 300 interviews.
Jake's 300 interviews, God.
I'm going to be happy. Actually, it's going to be great because even if I don't get it, I can just like listen to the podcast all week.
Well, and here's the thing, Lance. I pretty much am telling anybody whatever they want to take pictures of, record, video, audio, you know, whatever they want to write, I don't care. I mean, ultimately, as long as, you know, If it's going to be used for commercial purposes, I would just appreciate that, you know, sponsors get mentioned. That's the bottom line. I'm letting anybody pretty much record or do whatever they want to do at GnomeDex.
Chris,
sure as it comes out and I can grab it and such, I'll be playing bits and pieces in my podcast as well.
Yeah, and certainly anybody would be welcome to do that. It's like, use it for whatever purposes.
But don't eat while doing a podcast. Adam Curry does it and it sort of really irritates me. It's like one of those things. It's like Adam Curry will sit and do his podcast and eat and like sip stuff. And it's like, it's nice to tell about it, but it's like one of those things where, like, you know.
Just not for you?
No, it's like.
Every once in a while, I'll belch on the air. But,
no, it's sort of like I sit next to someone at work who clips his fingernails out of the cubicle.
Oh, God.
And
No, wait, Lance, you mentioned your podcast. I mean, when did you start that up?
I started that on November 1st, actually.
Oh, wow. What's the URL for that?
The URL is lance.heathville.com. That's HEATHVILLE.
Boy, not like you've said that a million times.
Yeah.
You rolled right through that one. So what gave you the idea of doing the podcast?
Actually, I've always really liked radio. Well, I can't say that. I don't like listening to radio, but I like the idea of being on radio. And so I just wanted to do something like that. And then when I found podcasting, and, you know, the first time I heard about it was at GnomeDex 4, and just decided to go for it. Since I had the site and wasn't doing much with it as a blog, I had the site, had the resources available, and just went for it, and it's starting to really kick off.
I am signing up for your show, cutting and pasting the URL into my copy of iPodder as we speak.
So, Lance, you've gained another listener.
Wonderful, great.
No, it's, you know, I think GnomeDex has always, every year it's been different, every single year, and 4, you came to a good one. 4 was the best one that we had. To date, and you know, each year I do what I can to kind of top that, but it's not so much the conference that makes things happen. I think it's the people who come. So you really made GnomeDex successful. I mean, largely based on, you know, hearing, you know, what you did. I mean, if we were just a part of kind of showing you another avenue through which you could share your voice, then that's amazing. That's really cool, and that's kind of what I'm all out for.
Now, I actually have a question for you, Chris. One of the things that he does in his podcast is he puts pod notes or show notes, uh-huh, with links and stuff.
Uh-huh.
How come you don't do that?
Well, largely because Jake.
Do you really have time to write up notes for a 3-hour program?
This is every 3 week? Hours.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
it's 3 hours,
I know that.
Dude. It's 3 hours every week.
Okay.
Well, not only that, but it's something where, you know, we revel in the live factor, number one. Number two,
yeah,
we want to give people a reason to listen to it. If they want to listen to it, it's not very URL intensive. It's more discussion intensive.
Yeah,
yeah. So there's not really anything to track necessarily.
Okay.
And in general, the notes, like the little summary of the articles, I try to make it like meaningful enough so that you'll at least know who is there,
okay,
and the general sense of what it is. Without...
So it's more of a tease than anything else. And I certainly appreciate seeing show notes as well, but certain podcasts lend themselves to that more so.
Yeah.
There's just not enough time to do 3 hours worth of show notes.
Okay.
Because then you have to re-listen to it, so that's another 6 hours.
I'm doing
hours.
Like 20 minutes. So.
Yeah, 20 minutes is not bad.
20 minutes is doable.
Yeah.
How long's yours, Lance? You do it every week?
Yeah, I do it twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays,
okay,
and they're about 35 to 40 minutes.
So it's about an hour and a half or so, and putting into it. Is that the only thing you're working on at this point? You got other projects?
Nothing. Well, I'm part of the big techpodcast.com network.
Yes.
You and I are both of that. That's the biggest one right now I'm working with.
Yeah, well, I think Todd is doing a fantastic thing with that.
Oh, he's doing a remarkable job.
Yeah, it's so impressive with what he's handling.
Yeah, and As a matter of fact, my show's become more successful than I kind of thought it would be, and I just wrapped up my 49th show tonight, and actually the last five shows were kind of like a five-word phrase giveaway that I'm doing. I'm doing a giveaway on the contest on the show. Tuesday, June 14th will be my 50th show, and then I'll be announcing the winner in that show.
So wait, what are you giving away, or can you tell?
Yeah, I'm giving away a free copy of Propaganda 1.0. That's podcasting client software to be able to record podcasts. $50 gift certificate from an unnamed retailer, electronics retailer.
Oh, wow.
And $20 gift certificate from SoundSource.com, which is a local place here in Chico where I got my microphone and mixer to do the podcast. It was a great place, so I decided to approach them, and they went for it.
Okay, do they have an In-N-Out burger around where you live?
Actually, they do, and I'm so glad it came in because I'm originally from Los Angeles, and I missed it so much up here in Northern California.
Because my girlfriend's from like L.A., and she just keeps going on and on about In-N-Out Burger. And
Dick's is probably the closest thing to In-N-Out Burger that we have up here.
No, she will totally disagree with that because it's like, you know, Dick's is sort of like quick, like simple. And
dude,
and
I've had In-N-Out Burger, and they're not anything.
Well, anyway, I'm not sure if I believe her hype.
You know, everyone that I've ever met from the L.A. area like raves and raves about In-N-Out Burger. And it was anticlimactic for me the first time I had it.
Yeah, me as well. And maybe coming from the Midwest, Jake, we're kind of spoiled with good beef.
Could be.
Yeah.
Not good beef that has been spoiled. Just spoiled.
Corn-fed.
Yes, corn-fed, as it were. Well, Lance, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening.
You bet. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. We just bantered. Did you have a question?
Well, I did have a little question.
All right. Well, let's answer the damn thing.
Okay, great. As a matter of fact, just recently I picked up Apple PowerBook G4.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And
I'm rocking the iBook G4 right now.
What's that?
I am rocking the iBook G4 right now.
Oh, are you?
Yes.
And my question was is that it was really easy for me to be able to network my two Windows computers. Well, pretty easy. And but I'm having a little bit of trouble figuring out how to do it from the Mac to the Windows machine, meaning like mapping a drive to where it's always available, because I'm always having to go to the Finder Go menu, go connect to server, blah, 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 and then put in password and such, and trying to find an easier way of doing that, having it do it automatically.
By default, I know your issue. I have the same issue where I always want to have a shortcut to it, like on the desktop, but it doesn't retain itself. You can't even put a shortcut really for it, I think, in the dock. It doesn't work that way either.
Now, what I've always done, and I know this is a really low hack, is I use my iPod as a portable hard drive to move files from one to the other, or I'll email it to myself if it's something small. But that's because, like, I have my Mac at my place and my PC at my girlfriend's place. So that's for that. But for live, there used to be a software out there called Dave.
Yeah.
That was for, but I'm not, but that was pre-OS X.
Dave's still around.
It's still around.
But do you need it with OS X?
Not for the sharing level, because you can share. I think you're just talking about persistency of that icon, or like mapping it to a drive like you would in Windows. Right, Lance?
Exactly. Yeah,
I'm not sure if Dave would do that, but I'm not sure if it inherently in the operating system if it will reconnect each time you log in.
You know what? There is probably like a much lower level hack. If you look at I think it's MacScripter.net is a fantastic resource of just every it seems like every day there's like a new hack that's posted that's really actually very useful. And you may try searching there for any of the cross Windows tips, especially with network drives. And
okay.
And Jake, 8-bit Jake here, was just pointing to a website, macwindows.com, that may also have a handful of applications that will kind of help you bridge the gap between the two.
Try checking out Apple's Tech Notes, you know. Apple's technical documentation from Apple on Apple.com because I haven't found it, but I'm sure, you know, because that's something that a lot of people that, you know, especially with their Switch campaign, they're trying to get people who have PCs and Macs.
You know,
and
I actually wrote an article on Mac and Windows networking for PC Today magazine, like during those Panther time frame, though.
Well, no, so, that's still probably
Because they didn't. They haven't upgraded networking for Tiger, have they?
They changed a lot, but I don't.
Networking seems to be nicer in Tiger than it was in Panther.
Really?
In my opinion. Well, and, I mean, it's widgets.
You know, I just don't care about widgets, and the fact that you can't really turn the dashboard off ever is annoying.
8-bit Jake.
Yes.
I just realized something. I was talking with Lord Cat, who his name's Jason. He's also a contributor, and we'll probably be playing his audio file here because he does the gaming segment for our show.
Cool.
Tonight. I was reminded of seeing in the chat room at wiki.lockernome.com. We're going to try to do like show notes, but let the listeners kind of make the show notes. So as we're doing it live, I don't know if Lord Cat's got things going on there right now, but essentially we'll be able to build out the resource with every live show that we do and letting the community or the listeners be able to contribute to wiki.lockernome.com, wiki.lockernome.com. So that's kind of that's the angle we're taking with show notes, I think, or the direction that I would take, which is kind of related to the file, but, you know, allows for more control on the, on that side of things. Lance, you still with us?
Am I?
Okay, I'm just making sure. I heard a click in the background, and I wasn't sure.
I heard that, too. I thought I was dropped down.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was or not. Well, as long as you're still there, we should be okay.
Okay, it is here. If you go to apple.com, there's a tab for resources and networking and security.
And resources for networking and security.
Yeah, I'm not sure this is the tech documentation, but I know there's probably some
the resources I think is all of the
software listing,
third party
right?
Downloads.
Okay, but there is I just check out the Mac website or the Apple website and see if they have to have some FAQ on how to do what type of Windows are you working on? Are you talking about XP, XP Home, Pro?
Probably Pro.
Yes, Lance. It's connecting to a main XP Pro machine.
See, I'm pretty sure it's MacScripter.net. Probably, in my opinion, one of the better pages or sites that are out there in terms of like scripting tips.
OS 10 Hints might have something too.
OS 10 Hints, and of course, when we say 10X, it's the Roman numeral 10.
I still say X because, you know, it just sounds so much cooler.
So try those three directions, Lance, with those three resources, and see how far you get.
Yeah, I'll try that.
All right.
Well, thank you very, very much, and big congratulations on selling out Gnome Decks 5.
I'm very happy.
I'm sure you are.
Yeah, that's probably one of the biggest struggles that we had in Gnome Decks' past is in trying to get to the point where we would sell out. And
so,
having sold out, it's a different kind of problem.
Adam Curry's on his way, right?
What do you mean, like flying right now?
No, but like he's speaking at Gnome Decks. Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Adam's coming. Adam will be here. Come hell or high water, he will be here. So... Thanks again, Lance.
Okay, thank you. Take care.
No problem. Take care.
The Windows Media Stream for the live broadcast of The Chris Perillo Show is provided by Limelight Networks. Listen to the live Chris Perillo Show in Windows Media Player. Download the latest version of the player for Mac and Windows users at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.